Off the Ball, GAA.
Don't underestimate the excitement. I don't underestimate what that buzz in a county can do. Sometimes you have to go with the jungle. Nathan. You can't tame the jungle. You got to roll with
join
it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Settle in on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Guinness 0.0.
All right, you're welcome along to the latest episode of Settle In with Guinness 0.0. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Jess and Tatiana from Shamrock Shioga Basketball Club. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. Great. Thank you.
Jess, you might talk to us about Shamrock Shioga. What is it?
Yeah, Shamrock Shioga is Ireland's first LGBTQ plus basketball club. It was set up last summer in May, so we're just 1 year old. And we basically create a space for queer people to play basketball in a safe space, essentially.
Tatiana, there's a great basketball community across Ireland. Why did you feel the need for an LGBTQ plus specific basketball club?
Well, I mean, the existing community tailors so much to everything but that. There's so many policies and things in place, pre-existing notions of what queer people are. And it just goes to show, like, the first queer team that we've grown huge across the last year. We've over 140 people in a group, 80 registered members. It was needed. So,
When you say catered for everything but that, what do you mean?
So right now, trans people can't play in competitive sports, which doesn't really make any sense. And we also have a lot of non-binary folks, and the leagues that exist in Ireland are male or female. So it forces people to conform to one gender, and that's not what Shamrock Shioga is about. It's about inclusivity, having people feel safe and confident in a space. And if you don't feel confident yet, we'll show you how to.
Jess, what's your relationship with basketball been through the years?
Yeah, so I would have played basketball in school and club, which was the best experience of my life. I played for Colester. Shout out Colester, they were a great team. We were like a family. And then as I got older, I started to identify as non-binary, coming out as queer and just questioning my gender. In my early 20s, I played with another women's team, ABFRC in Artane, and they were a great team as well, but I just didn't fit the mould. There was no space for me in basketball. Took a break, maybe 8 or 9 years, and then I found out about Shamrock Shioga through Instagram, and I found my people, and I fell back in love with basketball, and I initially joined as a social member, because I didn't know how much I wanted to get back into it.
I forgot about this.
And then, the last 6 months, we've been prepping for Euro Games, and we've been training 4 times a week and just working really, really hard. And we want to show that we're athletes and we can be taken seriously as queer people in basketball.
And those 8 or 9 years where you're away from the sport, was there a gap in your life with not having basketball?
Yeah. I didn't know I needed Shamrock Shioga until I had it again.
Right.
I absolutely love the sport of basketball and the community that comes with it. And I had that in my club when I was younger with my team. And I was missing that for those amount of years. And now I have that again, and I can't imagine my life without it, and I won't have it, won't be without it going forward.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What about you, Tatiana? What's your relationship been with basketball?
I've been involved in basketball since I was 10, so I previously worked in it. It was my profession, and I was coaching, and that's how I started with Shamrock Shioga. So it was initially like an 8-week program that I said yes to. When my boss asked me, I don't think he knew that I was queer either. So I was like, hell yeah, sign me up, I want to do this. And I think there was about 8 to 14 people at the 8 sessions. And I was like, this is great. I get to coach adults that are keen, that are similar to me, that feel safe because I'm also queer. And I haven't heard of a queer basketball coach just yet that's out and open and wanting to help other queer basketball players. So I approached two of the people that were kind of organizing everything, and I was like, let's get this down and going and moving. And Jess came along, and we had a great group of people, and it just exploded, and I'd say blossomed is a better word. It's really hard to encapsulate how much it's grown and what it means to people. You just have to see it, you know?
Yeah. You both used the term a safe space there a couple of times already. What's the balance within the club then of that culture and that safe space and the competition and the competitive side of you're going out playing basketball, you want to win matches, you want to have fun.
Yeah.
How do you get that balance?
Well, the nice thing about Shamrock Shoga is we have two different sessions. We have a competitive session and we have a social session. Our competitive session are people who would have played basketball back in the day, maybe took a break, and now they want to get back into it. So it's kind of like they have their basketball knowledge, they have their basketball experience, and they just happen to be gay as well. Whereas our social team, some of them have never picked up a basketball, but they just want to have that space, you know? So it's nice to have the two. But we try to just really center trans people when we in our club. Before every session, we do names and pronouns before everything. And we take that very serious as well. We make sure everybody is respected. If someone, you know, slips up here and there, that's fine. But we really drill that to our members. And that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Should there be a need for Shamrock Shoga?
That's a tough one.
You both seem to get so much out of it and so much enjoyment, but as you said, Jess, you were in a different basketball environment.
Yeah.
Where at one stage maybe you were happy there as well.
Like, yeah.
Would you, it sounds like at this stage you're past that, but would you like to get back to that?
I think growing up as a kid, as a gay kid, because I was out at the time and I had a really supportive team. That's why I love them so much. I think every kid needs to experience that, you know? I think when you're an adult, you can kind of find your bearings and you can kind of choose what spaces you want to be in. But in terms of when you're a kid, like having sports and being accepted for who you are, I do think they should be merged. And every kid, whether they identify as LGBT or not, should feel empowered and accepted in a sport and supported and confident and like want to thrive in that space, you know?
Tatiana, as a coach and your involvement, you're probably seeing lots of different types of personalities come through the club. What sort of opportunities have you seen being given to people?
So many. It's especially just coming back from France as well, like people letting their guard down, people being more
themselves. So you're just back from, how long, you were in Lyon at a major tournament?
Yes. Yeah. We're in Lyon competing in Euro Games. The games spanned over the course of 2 days. So we had three teams and one came back with a silver medal around the necks. Being a year old, like, that's insane. Sorry, like, it's unbelievable. So
still haven't processed it.
Yeah. We got back on Sunday. So just back to reality now.
This is Tuesday afternoon, by the way, so the voices are still feeling the effects.
Rusty,
was that from shouting instructions or from celebrations?
Both.
Yeah, so I guess to give you some context of why we signed up for Eurogames, as Tatiana mentioned, trans people can't play in a league in Basketball Ireland, and we want to be taken serious as competitive athletes, so we wanted to have a goal to work towards. So over the last year, we've been training, developing our teams, and fundraising to help get us to Eurogames, which we did. And we had three teams, so we had a men's plus team, a mixed gender team, and a Flinta team, which is basically non-men, anyone but man. So like non-binary people, women, trans people, all included in that. And this was our first big tournament representing Ireland, and our Flinta team came second. So we got second place. Which was absolutely monumental and so special to all of us, because this time last year we were just a baby club, you know,
and for Irish sport as well, like we win nothing, you know.
Yeah, so it's really special to us that we have that and we won that, and we can show now we can be taken seriously as athletes, you know.
And we should be.
Yeah. By the sounds of what you were saying, Tatiana, as well, that opportunity to travel abroad and to get to know each other that little bit better and away from home and spend some time having the type of conversation you mightn't have when you're only seeing each other for a couple of hours a week.
Exactly, yeah. And people just feeling more comfortable. Obviously, I felt comfortable enough to be screaming and shouting at everybody. And people just like picking up on the instruction and fighting so hard and hustling and putting in the effort, like the amount of blood, sweat and tears that went into training for this and to see the payoff. And although two other teams didn't get the results that we hoped for, they still gave it their all to the very end, that they gave one of the teams a prize for fair play and sportspersonship, you know? Like, the message there of what Shamrock Shoga is and was at that tournament was amazing.
Yeah. And also the opportunity to get to meet up then with other teams and the bonds and the opportunities that might come out of that over the coming years, I presume, are massive.
Absolutely. Back in May, we did a more casual tournament with one of our teams and we placed third there. And we built some relationships from that. So some of the teams that we played against in that tournament, we met in Lyon. And then the relations that we've made now, like other clubs, Milan, Barcelona,
Vienna,
Berlin. Copenhagen and Berlin, they've all invited us to their international tournaments just from this week, you know, so we...
That's a lot of nice trips.
Yeah, it's a lot of nice trips. So we want to just represent Ireland and show Irish people, especially in basketball, that we can take part and we deserve to take part.
What is the relationship like then with Basketball Ireland and the governing bodies? As you've just mentioned, you've just been to Lyon, you're competing at a very high level and achieving at a very high level. What is the recognition of what Shamrock Shoga is doing? What needs to happen next?
I mean, with Basketball Ireland, the way things work is that there's leagues that kind of conform to their policies and rules and regulations, but then you'll have like a Dublin League, a South West League, a West League. We don't participate in any of those, but we register ourselves as a club with Basketball Ireland. And I think we've trailblazed enough ourselves without having to need any kind of support, even though we would never say no to support. The committee and the group of people and the support that we have, the fundraisers we've made, the connections we've built, is how Shamrock Shoga has grown. And I don't think we've done much with Basketball Ireland in that kind of sense.
I don't think we can. We can't. If their policies don't allow us, and unless their policies change, we don't want to work with them. That's just point blank.
And is that a debate you want to have with them?
It's more so we would like to liaise with them and update their policies. But to be honest with you, at the rate that we're going and at the growth that we're going, we don't need them. We have our own thing. We're doing our own thing, you know. We've kind of built everything from the ground up ourselves. We've done all of our fundraising. All of our collabs has been done through us. Getting to Lyon, getting to London, our future things will always be from us, you know. Mm. And they haven't reached out to us.
There's a lot of LGBTQ plus sports clubs coming on board, it feels, more and more every year. And a lot of the ones that we talk to, the trans community comes up more and more often as there not being a place in traditional sport.
Yeah.
And almost that sense of protecting them within your bubble of actually this is a very safe space where you're not going to be judged, where also you don't need to be part of the commentary around that sport, which just must be feel so relentless on, you know, a very small percentage of the population who are being identified by the sporting bodies. How important is that for you within your club? Because again, there's a vast array of people within that umbrella, but particularly the trans community and providing them with that level of safety within sport.
Yeah, a lot of queer sporting clubs in Ireland are gay men centred. Shamrock Shoga is not. Shamrock Shoga is trans people centred, and that's our core value at its heart. We will always put our trans members first and have that space for them. We don't want any barriers for them to play in terms of financial or getting there or kits or runners or whatever else it may be. We will support them as much as they need to be supported. and they need to be protected. And like, we need to make sure that the people that play with us are other queer people, that they're respecting our trans brothers and sisters. We need to ensure that the venue that we're training in is also respecting our trans members. That's really important to us, because we're going to be using the changing rooms, we're going to be using the toilets, you know. So we need to make sure all of those things are like ticked off the list and ready to go. It's, you know, to make sure that our trans people feel safe even getting to a specific area, like how they get there. You know, we have to consider all of that to make sure that it runs as a safe space for trans people.
Well, not something I would ever consider, but you would have to think about as to, you know, the public safety aspect of it, as to where you're training, how accessible that is. How difficult is that? How much of a concern is that as to where you're training, how aware people are of where you're training?
It's not too much of a concern, but it's something that we have to consider, you know? And we've been very lucky. We now train in St. Pat's and DCU, in Drumcondra, which they have been phenomenal working with. Because they're a university, they're modern. They know, you know, they have students, like, you know, LGBT issues and community is no stranger to college life and university life. So it's been really nice to have the space to know, right, we're good, because they have pride flags hanging up and everything else, which makes our members feel way more safe. And in terms of people knowing where we're training, so far so good, like, we've been fine with that, but these are just things that we have to consider to make sure everyone is 100% and feels safe getting there and then playing there, you know.
It's a Dublin-based club at the moment.
Yeah.
Are there potential for expansion to other cities across the country? I'm sure you'd welcome any conversations or calls from people in Cork or Galway.
Absolutely.
Or Waterford or Limerick.
Tati will chat about that, but we have one member who travels from Galway every week to play with us, and she played with us in the Euro Games and plays second.
That's a good level of commitment.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
See, the goal now is, like, we want competition, you know? So, like, ideally, we'd love what we've set up to be a template and kind of start a domino effect where clubs are popping up in Limerick, in Galway, in Cork. There's a team up in Belfast. And we can create our own League of Ireland there and play games and have an LGBTQ basketball league that we can do ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So hopefully with time and with enough people and resources and interest across the country, that will be a reality.
So to prepare for the Euros event in Lyon, who were you playing matches against?
So I'd reach out to clubs and ask if they'd play friendlies and stuff. So I play in the Dublin leagues myself, so I kind of would be quite familiar with that kind of scene. It was a good help.
And what's the reaction when you're asking clubs to play games if the overall policy is that there's no place for trans players? When you're ringing individual players, individual clubs saying, come and take us on the friendly, what's the reaction?
This is what's really frustrating, because when I reach out with the message and I say what Shamrock Shoga is and who we are, and that we're looking for friendlies because we can't compete in the normal leagues, they say, oh, that's a shame. Absolutely, we'd love to play. Oh, I can't believe you can't play. Let's do a friendly whenever it works. And I haven't had anybody yet say that they don't want to play or they don't feel safe or something doesn't feel right. And two teams have said, if you signed a petition or if you made a petition, I'd sign and let you guys play.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a sense of, like, fear or...
It's not coming from other basketball clubs.
That's the thing. It's
coming from the top down.
It comes from this miseducation of what trans people are. People don't understand what it could mean because nobody has seen it before, and people are scared of the unknown. But the problem is that people aren't given the opportunity to see what it is, because there is no safe space. Now that there is, people are going to start to see it. Something like this is giving us such an incredible opportunity to showcase what trans sports is and LGBTQ sports is. So now that people see this, hopefully we can show, like, trans people are safe, trans people are welcomed, and trans people can compete in competitive sport if you let us, you know?
Mm. Yeah. It's also has been difficult to get friendlies because basketball clubs have their own leagues and they have their own dates set out for the year ahead. So as much as people are saying yes to us, actually getting down to it and trying to get a match in has been proven difficult. So 9 times out of 10, we've been playing against each other.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
What about the boring admin side of it then, and, you know, new kits, you know, fundraising to go to Lyon, even if you are trying to start an All-Ireland league, the administration that might go in with that, is it difficult to raise money to tap into resources?
I think we have a really strong committee. It started off with 5 for the last year. From September onwards, we'll have 13. Everyone has been on the ball with the admin bits. We've delegated different roles to people. I think fundraising in general right now is hard for everyone. But it's mostly been our friends and family who have been showing up to our pub quizzes, showing up to, we hosted a gala that was a fundraising event. A lot of people have been really helpful in donating prizes towards us, other queer like companies and small businesses as well. Like tattoo artists, barbers and stuff like that. So our community has really shown up for us, which has just been, we're so grateful for our community getting us to Euro Games, honestly, and then to bring home the silver to show them that we can do it, like, was just great. Like,
on the two sides of it then, on the sporting side and the more social side, Tatiana, are you finding a lot of people coming just for the social side because you have proven that this is such a safe and welcoming space that there may not be the greatest or deepest interest in basketball or even playing basketball, but actually just having somewhere to go on a Tuesday night, a Thursday night for a couple of hours where you can relax?
That's
is just so important.
We got back from Lyon on Sunday and one of the guys in the committee sent a screenshot of a message saying that, was it 12 people?
Yeah.
We had 12 people at social and we were like, oh my God.
So this was August last year.
Yeah.
Right.
So August 2024.
And 4 weeks ago, we had 42 people at training.
Yeah.
So that was our social training. So like...
I'm stating the obvious, but it obviously just shows what an underserved community it is.
Exactly. Like people, the social guys, some of them have never picked up a ball, but even the difference of their skill from when they started to now and what they can do, like the development of them as well, is just amazing to see. And it's great because we just clap for everyone, you know? Everyone
is
celebrating.
It's the atmosphere that's created there. Yeah. Like, you're hyped up if you trip over, you're hyped up if you score, you're hyped up if you look like an idiot, you know? And people are laughing and having fun. And the drills that we do, like, there'd be variations there. So you'll be doing like simplest things or like races or like flipping cones around while bouncing a ball, that it's just something to just like let out this like stress of life. Like that's what sport is, like above everything else, whether it's queer or not, like that's what sport's for. So it's giving these people that have like a lot of people will think of sport and be like, oh God, no, I can't. And it's that, again, the safe space where you can go and do these things and be active in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And people are finding new ways to be active, and that's what Shamrock Shoga is. Like, there's no set way to be playing basketball at our social sessions. People just show up, and as long as you have a ball and you have a smile on your face, then job done.
All those things that you're talking about, what sport can be and should be, Tatiana, are things that we're told aren't what trans athletes are, that they're not interested in just going out and playing and having fun and having a bit of crack, that they're looking to injure women and they're looking to go into women's changing rooms. That's why they want to get involved in sport. That side of it, that doesn't enter the debate at all. When you're listening to that and you're going on your trips and you're sitting around having these conversations, or maybe you're not having these conversations and we're having them on the outside, how does that make you feel when you hear that sort of language being used?
It's really frustrating because, again, it's just complete miseducation and
scaremongering.
Literally, like, there's like nobody can name a trans athlete that's in the public light because there are very little open gay people, let alone trans people, these people aren't given a voice or the opportunity to showcase. And if and when someone is given that opportunity, it's fueled with negative comments and hatred and you shouldn't be here, you don't belong here. And it all comes from fear. And if you were to see now, like, these people that are making all of these points, I guarantee you they wouldn't be able to pick out of the lineup of Shamrock Shoga. You're trans, you're not, you're this. It's a matter of showing people what trans people are because it's not being showcased enough.
Yeah, we have 80 registered members in total. I'd say at least 50% are trans and non-binary. And then out of our 23 people that went to Eurogames, I'd say there was 10 trans and non-binary people there. So we're there. We exist.
And the isolation from mainstream sport that the trans community is facing, and it's only growing. How does that sit with you?
It makes me upset and angry. But it also makes me want this more, to not conform to normal basketball leagues and to say, let's make our own. Let's make our own space, safe space. Let's make our own leagues. Let's create the rules ourselves. We don't need to conform. We don't need to beg people to play. We don't need to beg people to change their policies. Let's just do it ourselves.
It's the thing, it doesn't exist yet. Like, there's no base, there's no foundation. Like, we can make it what we want, and we are making it how it is because we're listening to the people that want it. And then more people are joining because they see, oh, that's something I would participate in. That's something that I can find myself doing or see myself doing. And that's why Shamrock Shoga is growing so much, because nothing exists like it. Yeah. And it's the first opportunity people have to be part of something that's so inclusive and also competitive, you know?
If you want it to be. Yeah.
If you just want to go and have the crack.
If you want to go and have the crack.
There's also that too. We know exactly how to have the crack.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. What's next for Shamrock Shoga then? If we're sitting here and... 1 year, 5 years, what does it look like?
Do you want to take this one?
What's next? Everything.
Yeah. Our growth is explosive. We're, as I said, our committee has expanded from 5 to 13. Over the next 4 weeks, we're creating our strategic plan. We're sitting down with everybody, and I suppose we would love... We're definitely going to be increasing our sessions. We currently have 2...
Yeah, we had a competitive and a social last year. And then obviously for Eurogames, we threw in another. And then we have an outdoor social. But now we're streamlining in to try and kind of create like a really solid foundation for this club so that it exists there, so that no matter who or what comes through, there's this foundation there that will continuously grow Shamrock Shoga. It doesn't matter who's involved. As long as people are there to fuel it, it's going to work. So hopefully we'll have 4 sessions a week.
With a 5th, just doing scrimmages on the weekends. We want to host some tournaments, bring all of our new international pals to Ireland. We have a great relationship with our Belfast basketball team. So we did a tournament. We did Ireland's first LGBT tournament with them last year, last November. So we're hoping to do something similar again this year to raise money. Last year we raised money for Tenney. So we'll be going up to Belfast, and I'd say they'll pick a nice charity for us to fundraise for. In terms of the year ahead, Gay Games is on this year. So Euro Games is every year, and then the Gay Games every 4 years. That's in Valencia in June 2026, and we're locking in for that. We're getting ready for that.
Great.
So. And it's international. So the Euro Games is Europe, and then every 4th year is the Gay Games, which is the whole world.
Yeah. So.
Always good locations, it seems.
Yeah.
Valencia be a good spot.
The queer community and the trans community is so large, and there's so many much individual thought within that as well. Maybe there's no straight answer to this, but I suppose I would look at it, and we would often talk about how we make mainstream sport more inclusive. The way you're talking is almost actually, I don't say you're not looking for that inclusivity from mainstream basketball, but you seem very comfortable with the position that you're in.
Yeah. I think at the beginning, we were looking to fit the mold, to try and see how we could adapt to fitting into the Basketball Ireland leagues and stuff like that. But just seeing our growth and seeing how many people are interested in playing basketball, we don't need it. We don't need anyone else in terms of facilitating leagues or in terms of support. Yeah, absolutely, support is always welcome. But we have enough interest and we have enough people who want to facilitate it. Like me and Tatiana are both on the committee. We have a 13-member committee now. So we're just going to take off. We can do it.
And who's to say if the space becomes available that we can't do that and compete in leagues, you know?
Yeah.
Ideally, we can.
Because that's what I was going to ask as to, in a way, you shouldn't need to exist as a club.
Yeah.
But actually, the fact that you do and it's so successful and so important to so many people.
Yeah.
Well, like you've obviously turned a negative situation into such a positive 100%. Situation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you never should have had to do it in the first place.
Yeah, I know. This club just finds people when they need it the most.
Right.
And that's what makes it so special.
That's a pretty powerful thing.
It does. If you ask any of our members, this club is family. Like,
if you could see the social sessions, like, it's the social ones as well. Like, obviously, the competitive ones are great, but everyone's, like, locked in, train, shoot, you know? The social ones, like, the people just having the chats. They're just standing here with the ball on the side and people are shooting away. Some people are just chatting. Some come and share some things that, like, oh, I've had a bad day and whatever. And it's where people let loose. They let their hair down. They can say how they feel.
Yep.
And I don't really get that with my basketball team. Like, I go to train and shoot and practice. So, you can have the best of both worlds there with Shamrock Shoga, you know?
Yeah. One of the girls at the end of a session, we did our hands in. We did Shamrock Shoga and she just started bawling and she was like, you have no idea how much I needed this today.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. And we all just group hugged. Like, and it was just so special, like.
Yeah. And if that's not what sport's meant to be, eh?
You know,
that's literally, you know, that's it. That's the message.
Yeah.
It's what brings it together, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're doing some incredible work. Very best of luck at the Gay Games in Valencia. You. What month is that?
June 2026.
Yeah. So you've a bit of time to prep.
Lots of time.
Get yourselves ready. And listen, if we can be of any help with fundraising or making people more aware of some of the things you're doing over the next year, please do let us know. Jess, Tatiana, very best of luck.
Thank you so much.
After that successful weekend.
I'm going mute now for a couple of days.
That is the latest episode of Settle In with thanks to Guinness 00.
Settle In on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 00.